Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
Good morning. And this is another one of our roundup episodes where we peruse the contributions from you, the cunters, via the email and the Twitter. We separate the wheat from the chaff, and fuck me, there's a lot of chaff. A lot of people are confessing to things in the emails that perhaps they shouldn't be confessing to. Some of you are very morally dubious. I have deleted those emails for your own protection. And they will not be broadcast.
We don't want to be even part of it. Like, by even having it on our email, we could get ourselves in trouble.
It tends to be the sexual fail ones. Was one or two of them where I've had to use some mind bleach after reading the emails.
Oh, man. The sex fails, I remember we went through it, and I discussed this at the weekend with my wife again and a mate, and I'm increasingly thinking that a lot of our sex fails, and I mean mine, yours, and everyone out there, are entirely imaginary.
Yeah, it could be right.
It's just but never mind.
Different perceptions of events at certain times.
Yeah,
you could be right. Before we plough into the mailbag, we should mention once again that we have now launched the Iron Filing Society, which is our subscription service for all you loyal cunters and not you freeloaders. It costs £3 plus VAT per month, and you will get a weekly exclusive deep dive episode. And we're going to kick off by doing Roy Keane's first book. So we're doing it sort of cack-handed. We're doing the second Roy Keane Odyssey, which will be his first book. And that's going to start...
Which, if anything, has better material in than the second one.
Exactly.
Because you've got Claffey, you've got Cantona, you've got Beckham, you've got all the fun stuff.
Exactly. You'll get all that for free and exclusive if you join the Iron Filing Society. You'll also get your regular deep dive episode, which at the moment, of course, is Kevin Keegan. You'll get that 1 week in advance of everybody else as a special treat and a thank you for your loyalty. So if you just go to patreon.com/topflighttimemachine, you can have a look, see what it's all about and sign up. Or there's links on our Twitter, which is at TF Time Machine. And we're also on Facebook as well, but it's a bit of a fucking... morgue there's not much going on, but we'll stick all the information up there as well.
There will be other advantages to being a member of the Iron Filing Society,
yes,
that as yet unannounced, but they certainly won't cost you any more. That subscription will cover everything for the foreseeable future, including any merchandise or live events access that may occur going forward.
You'll get early bird tickets for live events that we may or may not do.
Tickets, badges, T-shirts, brand consultancy.
Anything
like
that.
No, I'm getting ahead of myself.
You know, extra charges may apply for badges. And brand consultancy.
Yeah.
But have you seen that Bongos Bingo thing that everyone's going nuts about, Sam? It might be a northern thing, I don't know. It's like, it's a bingo night, but they have like groups on and fucking like S Club 7 do it and things like that. And everyone jumps up and down and gets shit-faced and they have flashing lights and stuff. It's like bingo, but a rave at the same time. So
that's great.
I imagine we'll probably move into that territory as well sooner rather than later.
So, yeah, I mean, we could do a great, honestly, not joking, a great Top Flight Time Machine bingo night.
I'm thinking the same as you, definitely.
Because what we could do is, instead of numbers, we could have different footballers or Top Flight Time Machine sort of perennials, whether that be Yaff. So you might have a sheet that might have on it Yaffle.
Yeah.
That bloke who runs Fulham. Fanny powder, just a bag of fanny powder. Mike Ashley. Just all the perennials.
Right, we'll do that then. We'll sort that out later on. Anyway, so that is the Iron Filing Society. It's very hard to say. £3 a month plus VAT. It's the pretty much the price of a pint. Just buy us a pint once a month and we'll give you loads of extra stuff. What's not love?
Quite.
Right, let's move on. Let's delve into the mailbag. I've got some bullshit here, Sam. This one's from Paul Carragher. He says, a guy I served in various Northeast record emporiums. I used to work in Outprice for a while, so I might have come across this fellow as well. I don't remember him, though. A notorious bullshitter named Mark, apparently. This is starting to ring a bell, actually. Mark came into the shop after getting a full back tattoo of Jimi Hendrix in one sitting. And a few of us were like, fuck, that's some session. Let's have a look. Mark said, next time, guys, I'm proper sore. 2 weeks later, we said, get your back out then, son. Mark said, what's that? He says, let's see that back tattoo of Jimi Hendrix you've had done. Mark said, oh, I'd love to, but I had to sell it.
He sold his tattoo.
He sold his tattoo. I don't know how that works.
So you'd have to like graph it off and then package it. You sold it on eBay and then send it to someone. They stick it on their body with spray mount or prick stick.
By a plastic surgeon or like with a soldering iron or something like that.
You'd have to it's quicker and less painful than getting the tattoo itself, I suppose.
Just
not a bad idea.
Cut around it and peel it off and maybe send it in one of those tubes. Jiffy those bag. Cardboard tubes you can send through the post.
Roll it up in a tube,
Yeah, fair enough. You got one there?
Bullshit from sixth form in the mid-noughties. Recurrent bullshitter explains to whole common room. Lads, last night I was wanking and I managed to come so hard that it fired across the room and hit the play button on my iPod. It started playing Two Princes by the Spin Doctors. Then my mum walked in. It would have been better had your mum walked in at the moment of ejaculation. So she walks in before she's even got a chance to say, Kenneth, what on earth are you doing? He goes, bang! Two princes. Go ahead now. And then she just does like police officers do in 60s movies. Instead of complaining or questioning it, she hears the song, shrugs her shoulders, and just starts getting on down.
That's frugging.
As your semen dribbles down your Apple device.
That's how we all change our tunes these days, Mum. Get with it.
But listen, the mid-noughties, that was when the iPod first came out. Mm. So it was really, he was lucky to have one. It was very prestigious.
Yeah.
And to be ejaculating all over it was irresponsible.
He sounds like a rich kid. If he's got an iPod, he must have a few quid. And if he just thinks it's all right, he just spunk all over it. Willy-nilly.
And also, mate, rich kids can ejaculate much harder and further than normal kids because on account of their diets.
Their diets.
They have diets that tend to be much richer in fresh vegetables, organic foodstuffs. And, you know, a lot of their parents tend to shop at Waitrose. The food is of a better quality.
Yeah.
They don't eat as much sugar and chocolate bars and stuff like that. And as a result, their semen is fired out very powerfully.
They also have enhanced levels of confidence through being rich kids. Mm. And of course, ejaculation is 70% confidence, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, because I've seen it before. Like, you'll go, oh, what a very confident ejaculation. Yeah. Or in my case, people have often commented, oh, what a lackluster and insecure ejaculation that is, Sam. And I'll go, yeah, sorry, mate. It's just that I was raised on Finder's crispy pancakes.
Mate, it's made me nervous.
Just dribbles out. Doesn't fire like a confident, privately educated young man. Shoot as hard as an arrow. But me, just an apologetic little dribble. Sorry, it's just I've got a lot of insecurities about myself, see?
I used to have spaghetti used to me tea. But, of course, the only way that the poor person can ejaculate like a rich kid is if they've got a chode.
Yeah, if you've been blessed with a chode. Then you're all right.
Yeah, no problems in life whatsoever.
I've got one from someone called Double Cunter.
Oh, nice.
Dear Andy and Sam, I'm 19, possibly your youngest listener. Well, I'm not sure about that, but, well, for my if you don't count my kids who listen to it on an involuntary basis, because if they're in a... All right, and I had a mate at college who claimed that his ICT teacher was a former Ireland and Sunderland footballer, Stephen Elliott, and that when asked about his time with the Ireland squad, he mentioned that Roy Keane is actually a pussycat. He also claimed that he lived in the same street as former Middlesbrough and Aston Villa goalkeeper Brad Guzan, and that Guzan would regularly shop at the local Londis that my mate worked at. I also had a mate at school who, when asked what he did with the Easter holidays, claimed that his uncle was the best mate of an Egyptian drug lord and managed to secure a two-week holiday in a five-star hotel, all expenses spared, for his entire family. This very same uncle was claimed to have built a helicopter in his backyard out of a copper alloy and also had a smackhead farm. A farm where they grow smackheads.
Smackhead farm.
Needless to say, this mate was a fan of the Iron Filings. Yeah,
he's got a smackhead farm. Yeah. He's got a load
of
land.
He's built a helicopter out in his backyard. How do you afford all the stuff? Well, he's got his smackhead farm, hasn't he?
Yeah, you go down there, there's his smackheads wandering around all day picking grapes and that, yeah.
What do they look like? Oh, they all look like that Nick Cotton, don't they? That's what smackhead looks like.
Oh, I look like Zamo, Grange Hill.
Yeah, greasy air leather jacket, that kind of carry on.
The uniform of the smackhead.
Yeah.
Oh, here's one from Daniel Rennie. He says, the first bullshit story is about a lad called Jim, who was in my year at school, who would often regale us with bullshit stories. Perhaps the best example is when we were in year 7, where in order to impress us, he claimed that A, his uncle was both Iron Maiden's spare bassist. Spare bassist?
You've got to have a spare... When you reach air level, you need a spare bassist.
Yeah, he just hangs
you
around by the
side. You need an understudy in every role. Yeah.
He just hangs around by the side of the stage in case the regular bassist goes down.
Yeah.
And B...
We have a bassist down! Call on the sub!
Activate the spare bassist! Bring him on! And he was also... B, he was also the inventor of Street Sharks. Do you remember Street Sharks? It was a cartoon about shark cops.
That sounds like something we'd come up with.
I had to Google that because I wasn't sure what the fuck it was.
Me and my mate Joe came up with an idea once for a drama that we were going to try to sell to HBO. Of course, nowadays it would be Netflix, called Shark Prison, which was an experimental prison set up by a marine biologist who wanted to rehabilitate sharks.
Ooh.
So not just imprison them. They'd get sharks that had been up to no good, yeah, like eating people, yeah, and shit. And he was like sort of a liberal marine biologist who was like, hey, man, we can't just punish these sharks. We need to understand what it is that drove them to do these things and try to, you know, offer them the support they need to change their personalities. It was really good. And we even had a theme tune. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Shiny, shiny, shiny sharky prison. Naughty, naughty, shark been bad. Lock him up, put him in the prison. Rehabilitate the shark.
I love how you've still remembered that.
Yeah.
Word for word.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's a Velvet Underground song, you've nicked
still,
it, but...
I was yeah, but we can do a deal with the estate of Lou Reed.
I'm sure it'd be dead easy. It'd be much easier dealing with the estate of Lou Reed than dealing with Lou Reed while he was alive. The fucking cantankerous fucker.
Dear the estate of Lou Reed, I have invented an 18-part HBO drama about a shark prison where sharks are rehabilitated. Needless to say, I have chosen one of your dead relative songs to... Anyway.
I feel as though it is the kind of program that Lou himself would have enjoyed immensely had
he
survived.
Would have done as well.
But Street Sharks...
program, man.
Street Sharks was an animated series about the adventures of crime-fighting half-man, half-sharks, it says here. Aired from 94 to 97. And it was created to promote an existing Mattel toy line of the same name.
Ah. Cynical.
The premise of the story states that a university professor named Dr. Robert Bolton and his partner Dr. Luther Paradigm created a machine known as the Gene Slammer, which is capable of changing aquatic animals into anthropomorphic hybrids by combining their DNA.
Why would they have done that?
Well, it was cartoon, do anything. I'd sense a deep dive into Street Sharks coming on.
Street Sharks,
subscribers
yeah,
only, obviously.
Definitely worth it.
It's got to be on YouTube. Nice
I'm
one.
I'm just drawing a picture of a shark here while you talk, because sometimes I doodle while we're talking.
Okay.
And I'll show you it. This is of no use to the listeners, right?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Can you see it?
Yep. That's a shark.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering whether... I was going to put a big tongue coming out of his mouth. I thought, well, hang about. Do sharks have tongues?
They must have. Surely.
Well, get in touch by the Twitter or the email if you know. But if there's any marine biologists or aquamen listening, we're interested in any info of that sort.
Bring it on. Here's the second part of Daniel Rennie's bullshit story. It's about his brother's mate's dad. He says, according to my brother, the aforementioned friend once told him that my brother's friend's dad, was once on a jet ski and a jet of water somehow ended up turning his colon inside out. Must have gone right up his arse. And that resulted in him wearing an Asda carrier bag around his arse for a year.
What happened after a year? It just sorted itself out.
Yeah, it just healed.
That's pretty standard. If you've got an go and see your doctor. What is it? An inside out colon?
Yeah.
What happened? No, don't tell me. Let me guess. Jet of water from a jet ski,
right?
Yeah. Well, you'd be surprised. I'd get half a dozen of the patients just like you a week. Anyway, listen, I'll tell you straight. You're going to have to carry around a bag with you for a year. But after that, trust me, it'll all go back to normal. All right?
If you've got any questions, here's a DVD. It's an episode of Street Sharks where they deal with just this problem. It's all explained in there.
Now go on, get on. I've got a lot of other patients to see.
I've got
but
a lot.
Trust
on.
Me, you got no worries at all.
Jalapeño.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
I've got a Stray Man one. I don't want to show bias, but Stray Man stories are fast becoming my favourite category at the moment.
Okay.
I haven't read this one, though. It seems a bit long, so let's just see how it goes. I once became the lamest of Stray Men when about 4 metres from my bed and blocked only by a door. On reflection, and after listening to the Bushman story, that was my mate Thad, who had to hide in a bush at the time, I feel I too may have skipped a few steps before going stray. Well, people do that, and it's because deep down so many people secretly want to be stray men. Skipped a few steps while going stray, but also feel you shouldn't judge a man who has gone stray until you yourself have been in this situation. All right, he's got his excuses in first. Here are the boring details. I was out on a Friday night work string, and I knew it was going to be a late one, so I told my girlfriend that I'd stay at a friend's rather than risk the night bus of Old Kent Road, Lewisham and Catford. Yeah, that sounds like a horrible night bus. My friends... If you're ever going to fucking bump into Millwall up to their old tricks on that bus. My friend meets a girl and goes off, leaving me stuck. I decide to risk the stabby, pukey, piss-soaked crazy bus and arrive at my house in Catford. This is quite an achievement in itself. My girlfriend had deadlocked the door so I couldn't open it. All right, I bang a lot, I call many times, stones at the window, no joy. The house is in the middle of... I miss throwing stones up at a window, do you?
Not really.
Psst, to your mate. I did. You go around it. Also, I loved having stones thrown at my window.
Yeah.
Like, because I'd be sat at home, maybe bored, nothing on that night, and you'd be sitting around doing whatever. Maybe listening to a pop record.
Two Princes by Spin Doctors.
Yeah, I'd be sat there listening to two sprints, trying to... in those days, of course, it was cassettes, so you had to really ejaculate hard to get your cassette player to start, because those buttons... We're not talking touch-sensitive buttons here, Andy.
You push it in, didn't you?
Yeah, right. Get close really up. Hard. Anyway, there I was, bored, and suddenly you'd hear a tap, tap, and you'd think, what's that? Clink, clink, and you think, what's that outside? Is it hailing? I think some cunt's outside throwing stones up. So you go, like Romeo and Juliet, open up the window, look out into the street, and if you were really lucky, it'd be a girl.
Hmm.
But if you were, it would be more likely to be some bloke, and he'd go, are you in? And you'd be like, look, you can knock on the door. I didn't want to disturb your mum. People are scared, aren't they, of confronting a parent. But then you'd think, oh, that's nice, they've come round. Maybe we could get high and listening to Two Princes together. Anyway, throwing stones up at a window.
Yeah, you know that's horrible. A euphemism now, don't you, listening to Two Princes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. Okay, forget everything. All I'm saying is it used to be a laugh when someone threw stones at your window. Right, so where are we? Yeah. Right. He's throwing stones, no joy. The house is in the middle of a terrace with at least 20 houses either side. The back garden's back onto other houses, so there's no way round. This is where I feel I skipped a few logical steps. It started to rain a bit, but to be honest, not that much. I feel for Bushman and now recognise that rain may be the trigger for our panic. Only wearing a T-shirt, I decided that I was now in serious trouble, and I decided to slide under my car, which was parked on the drive. Great. Lying on my back, I was sort of bum shuffling my way under, but only managed to get about half of myself covered before getting stuck. One leg and arm were sheltered and a bit of body, but no more. It was half under the car and half not. I knew this was in theory a good idea, but I just couldn't pull it off. Then I looked to my neighbour's drive. They had a Renault Espace type car with high ground clearance. I slid under it easily and settled in on the grass part that separates the two bits of concrete you drive down.
Oh, yeah,
I know the bit he's talking about.
Like a mattress.
That must have felt like luxury. Laying a bit like you see a body in a coffin laid out. Yeah. It's beautifully written, by the way.
With his arms folded across his chest.
Yeah, the plan wasn't to live there or even to sleep, but keep out of this moderate rain.
I like how I said the plan wasn't to live there, if there was any doubt.
He hadn't gone that far as to like feel a bit of rain, can't wake his girlfriend up, so he's just like, I think I'll live under that espace for the rest of my life. But he goes, I did fall asleep. Well, that's great, isn't it? He managed to fall asleep. Good. I woke up to quite a lot of noise and banging. My leg was being dragged. Apparently, the bed I had found was so comfortable that I slept until 7 a.m. the next morning. The family whose car I was under must have got up for an early trip out and seen, luckily, that I was under the car. I slid... Yeah, what? And then they started pulling his leg. Fucking bastards. Yeah, How about a little...
Isn't it who he was?
Make him a cup of tea.
A straight man under the car.
Darling. They're obviously quite posh. They had a Renault Espace.
Yeah.
Darling... There's a stray man under our car. There's a stray man under the espace.
Could you go and remove him?
Make him a latte and bring him a copy of the paper.
See if he'd like some avocado and toast. Bring him in.
And wake him up gently. Because the thing about stray men is, I've had dealings with them before, they don't like surprises.
He'll leap up and bang his head under the espace and he could be dead.
You don't want him to lash out. Right. So he's woken up. The family, yeah. I slipped myself out, apologising. Sorry. Sorry, I went full asleep under your car. I gave a basic rundown of what had happened whilst picking grass out of my hair. To be fair, we knew the neighbours well and they seemed okay with it. My girlfriend had woken up now and stood at the door. I'd be livid with her. It must have been a fight or flight instinct, but something inside me decided just be a dick and see this through. I had a mild go at her about locking the door. Yeah, good. Not answering the door and apportioned all blame on her for the entire situation. Good. I stormed upstairs and went to bed. I did later apologise for this cuntish behaviour. That is good stray manning.
It's very good. And close to home as well, which gives... It's the kind of thing, if you want to dabble in being a stray man and just test the water, it's the sort of thing you can do. Just have a night under your neighbour's car and see how it feels. and then you can
sort
of
like go
further afield.
Yeah, it's like being in the Territorial Army.
Yeah.
It's like you're semi-stray.
Yeah, it's just...
You're stray, but with a safety net.
You've got your water wings on, your stabilisers on. Strabilisers, yeah. Even, if you like. Yeah. Sam, would you like to hear an email that begins with the line, "I thought I'd share with you the story of when I wanked myself at the off school."
Yes, I would like to hear that.
Here we go. This is from Lewis Clare. He says, "When I was 13 or 14, I woke up for school one day and decided to slip in a cheeky wank in bed before I got up. I was..."
Lovely. Get the day started right.
Evocative, isn't it? "I'd almost finished when there was a knock at the door and my mum came in. 'Why aren't you up yet?' Bright red from embarrassment and exertion. In a panic, I said, 'I'm not feeling very well.' She came over and put her hand on my forehead."
Oh,
"'You're running
no.
a temperature. Perhaps we should keep you off.'"
Oh, God. He had the wank sweats.
"'Perhaps we should keep you off.' He says, "'As we ran a shop, my mum would come up and check on me every hour or two. So in order to maintain the ruse, I spent the entire day in bed wanking almost constantly.'"
Oh, my God.
He says, Lewis adds, "I managed 8 or 9 across the school, dear. I must have taken off a layer of skin by the end of it."
Oh, no, it's too many. Even by adolescent standards.
What a dear. Well
Jesus
done.
Christ.
Well done, Lewis.
But, you know, he's making excuses there. He didn't have to keep wanking. She might come up and he'd be like, "Oh, I'm feeling a bit better."
Yeah.
But I suppose then there's the risk he might have had to go to school. I mean, it's not like she's going to... Oh, what's the worst that can happen? She comes up the next hour, she feels his head,
yeah.
And he's no longer hot and sweaty and red. And she goes, "That's weird."
Mm.
I think her reaction would have been, "You feel a lot better," and that she would have left it at that.
Mm.
What do you think she's going to say? "Why aren't you sweating and red anymore?"
Yeah.
"Maybe you weren't ill.
I was wanking.
Maybe you had, in fact, been wanking. Is that what you were doing? Is it? You were, weren't you? You were having a wank, and that's why you were so hot and sweaty.
You could stay off."
"All right, it's true."
"You could stay off for the rest of the day, but you'll be going back into school tomorrow, and the note that I have to send in to your teacher to tell them why you were off school will say that you were wanking. Are you happy now?"
"And you'll have to stand up in front of the whole class and tell them exactly what you had done."
To be fair, I think he did the right thing, because what he should have done was tailed off the wanking levels across the day. If he'd maybe he's done 3 in the morning.
Like when you're coming off medication.
Yeah, exactly.
You should always tail off.
Eased himself off. Done 3 in the morning, kept that temperature up, then maybe it's a couple over lunchtime and then 1 early afternoon. That still would have been 6. That's quite a lot. But yeah, thanks for that one, Lewis.
This next note I have is entitled "Sex Fail / Fingering."
Whee!
There was a lot of talk last week. Our podcast setup that we have, which is about to start unleashing a whole new raft of podcasts.
Podcast
Andy,
empire, you could call it.
Yeah, and so watch your space for that. And we were recording one of the new ones that me and Andy aren't on, but we're overseeing it. And I can tell you, it's a celebrity of the noughties reliving some of the good and bad times in his life. And I was amazed, Andy, I can't remember if I told you this on the day, by the amount of fingering stories this celebrity was willing to share. And when we were subsequently over WhatsApp discussing what the title of his podcast should be, there were a few suggestions that were just called like the Fingering Podcast, because it had surprised us. I mean, there's a rich mix of subject matter in there.
Yeah.
And then there was a talk about, because people were saying fingering is very 80s. Would you agree with that?
I think it's fingering's forever, isn't it? Surely.
And they were saying there needs to be a campaign to bring back fingering. But I don't know. I don't know if we need that campaign. What, isn't there a petition you can do online, and once you get past a certain number of signatures, like 20,000, you can get it raised as a question in the House of Commons?
Do you think we should do this?
Why don't we try to abuse that system more?
Mm.
Why don't we get an MP to ask a question about fingering?
Bringing back fingering.
The Right Honourable Member for Sunderland East. Yeah, a lot of my constituents have been talking to me at the surgeries about there not being as much fingering as there was in the 80s, like, and want to know what the government are going to do about it, because all these cuts have mean that they have to live without their benefits and without their fingering. You'd ask that probably to the Minister for Health, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's an NHS thing, that. There needs to be an NHS campaign, yeah. Leaflets and stuff. Go on, yeah. Let's have that. Anyway. Message.
When I was about 15 or 16, I invited my then girlfriend round to my house to watch a movie. This was before the days of Netflix and chill, but there was a mutual understanding that the movie was not the sole reason for her coming round. About 10 minutes into the film, things got tasty. We got as far as my hand going down her pants. I couldn't believe my luck. However, I had never done this before, and as soon as my fingers had assumed the position, God. For want of a better phrase, I froze and remained completely motionless, fingers included. We then proceeded to lie in complete silence and watch the remaining hour and a half of Scary Movie 2 with my still useless digits inside. Oh, this is horrible. Looking back, I don't know if she knew what I was supposed to be doing and was just too polite to say, or if she also thought that this was what fingering entailed. Either way, it still makes me want to rip my own fucking eyeballs out every time I think about it. We parted ways shortly after. Yeah, but, I mean, it must have been deeper than that. When our mate said, why did you split up? Oh, he was rubbish at fingering.
That's why we need the campaign to bring it back. We need information, education, all that kind of thing.
We shouldn't let kids be this, grow up this ignorant.
It should be part of, it should be on the curriculum, shouldn't it? It should be part
should
of the biology
on the national
lessons.
Curriculum. Yeah. Of course it should. But Michael Gove did put pay to that, yeah, because under Blair, it was very much on the curriculum. I
think Michael Gove's never fingered anyone in his life. You can tell by looking at him, can't you?
He's not fingered his missus who writes a racist vitriol in the Daily Mail.
Oh, definitely hasn't. Maybe he should have done.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe then they would have fucking both chilled out a bit.
Yeah. Wankers.
Which, let's face it, they could all fucking do with a bit of chilling out.
Yeah, the Tory party needs a lot more fingering. I've got another one here, wanking story, it says. Nick Webber.
Can I just say, I don't think we actually asked for wanking stories.
It's just happened organically.
And loads of people have just said, I mean, what's going on with the cunters? Like, I feel we've been quite imaginative and quite specific in our briefs, like accidental boobs, new one that you announced yesterday, getting on tables.
Yeah.
Adoption lies. These are pretty niche and specific call-outs for content. And people are listening and going, oh, it's great, that Top Flight Time Machine. Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to write and tell them about a wank I had once. What the fuck? We didn't ask for that.
You can't choose
anyway,
your audience.
Read it out anyway.
You can't choose your audience. You get what you're given. Hopefully the subscribers will be of a higher class of punter and we'll get some better letters from them. Nick Webber, yeah. As a younger man, I was a keen bean-popping nightclubber. And after a year or so of gurning nonsense, and after one especially heavy night, my body decided I needed a week-long stay in St. Thomas's Hospital in a cardio ward full of the dead and dying, where I was given a private room with a private bathroom. Luxury. Oh, a rich man's hospital ward. He says, after four or so days, I was feeling a bit more like my old self and headed into the private bathroom to celebrate with a long-overdue hand shandy. Forgetting, though, that my heart rate was still being monitored via a series of adhesive pads, the emergency crash team started banging on and prying open the door to save me from a suspected heart attack. After quickly organising my pant and dick situation, I had to face down a series.
Great double act, pant and dick.
I had to face down a series of probing medical questions and many, many suspicious glances. Oh, the wanking shame.
Fucking hell. Suspicious glances. I've got a sneaking suspicion that young man has been masturbating in the toilets. I'm going to be. Then, what's his name? James Robinson Justice turns up. Oh, no, it's the consultant. Boy, what's all this about wanking on my wall? I shan't have it.
I'm getting it.
Dirk Bogart's there trying to cover up for you. I'm not entirely sure it was a wank, sir. I think he just maybe got slightly carried away shaking his willy at the end of his wee-wee. It was a wank. I've got the data here to prove it.
Put him back.
Here are the readouts from the cardiograph.
Put him back on the general ward with all the other cunts.
Oh, I fucking love him.
All right, that's all I've got. Right. Have you got any more? You got another one?
Yeah, I've got one more. I'm an expat living in Omaha, Nebraska, and I wanted to pass on the best bullshit tale I heard since arriving here. Oh, American bullshit. A new lad joined our office, and hearing I was English, he came up to me to talk about soccer ball. According to this 5'6" obese man, he was on Tottenham's books in the early noughties as a goalkeeper and regaled the office with a tale about how he was playing for the reserves against Liverpool at Anfield. In this game, Prince William was turning out for Liverpool. And he won them a penalty.
American bullshit.
Yeah, so they had Prince William playing for them. And he won them a penalty. And before the future King of England stepped up to take the kick, a defender had a word in this lad's ear and said, if you save this kick, Prince William will look a fool and get angry and cancel your contract and visa. Sure enough, my new pal ignored this advice and saved the kick. On the coach home after the game, he was told that his contract had been cancelled. And even though the coach told him he was the best goalkeeper at the club, he had to be sent back to the US. We had other buttes from this lad. He told us he was a grandmaster at chess. And he also translated all Nintendo games into English from the original Japanese for the US market.
High
great,
quality
great
stuff.
American bullshit.
That's about it then for the roundup of your mailbag stuff. Keep it all coming. Tweet us at Top Flight. No, tweet us at TF Time Machine rather. Email us at topflighttimemachine@gmail.com, and we'll have another episode of like this soon where we round it all up.
Yeah, and if you want more of where this came from, then subscribe on Patreon.
Patreon.com/topflighttimemachine. There'll be no Kevin Keegan episode this week unless you're a subscriber. Because they get it a week in advance. So
there you go.
You know.
But when you're at the pub and some of your mates who are less tight than you are all laughing and exchanging thoughts about
the new
Kevin Keegan episode, and you're left out still talking about last week's Kevin Keegan one, and they look at you like, oh, this is awkward. He's still on last week's. Clearly he's not a member of the Iron Filing Society like us.
Yeah.
Who's going to look like the cunt? You or them? Well, I'll leave that question hanging. And you answer it.
And we'll also add that as you get the new Keen Odyssey as part of the subscription thing, there will be two episodes in this week's launch week. Two. Get a load of that.
Two fucking beauties.
Get involved. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.